You know what, guys? If I seem genuinely excited, it's because tonight, it's all about stout, baby.
Yep, and we got multiple of them.
And everybody who listens to Beer Geek Radio knows just how much of a love affair I have with the dark beer. This is Beer Geek Radio. I'm your host, and my name is Brad.
This is Steven.
And this is Chris.
So what we've got for you tonight not only will be one of my favorite episodes we probably ever do, but we're going to make sure we make it educational, informative, and not completely lose our minds. As Steven said, we have several beers to drink and enjoy. Oh, I mean, we've got a dry Irish stout, we've got a milk stout, an oatmeal stout, we got a good Russian Imperial, and then we got a bottle of bourbon barrel aged stout that's probably going to be poisoned by the end of the show, but we're fine. We'll live.
We've drank poison before.
Yeah.
And also, we've got our first edition of the Brew Bribe for you tonight, so pay attention. If you're drunk already, you might not win.
Yep. Sorry.
Or it might help you. Who knows?
Yeah.
You never know. So tonight, before we get too far into it, I just want to give you guys a rundown of what we're going to be doing for you. And we've got five different beers. We're going to get into those in just a second. We're going to give you guys a quick rundown of the history of the stout. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell you a little bit more about the Bourbon Barrel Aged Stout Tournament that begins next week. I'm thoroughly excited about this, guys.
This is going to be insane.
Yeah, I think this is, I don't even want to say this has potential. This, I'm pretty sure, will be my favorite tournament that we've done so far.
So, we got that, some more details of that coming up at the end of the episode. But really quick, our getting to know your beer geek question, much to nobody's surprise, is all about stout again. And the stout getting to know your beer geek question of the evening is a two-parter. And you're going to get to know our taste a little bit. First part of the question is, what are your two favorite barrel-aged stouts? Steven, what do you think?
That one's pretty easy. Well, right off the top, Black Tuesday's Peanut Butter Balls. That was amazing. That one is one of my favorite beers, period. Secondly, you know, I was really trying to think what other barrel-aged, because there's a lot of really good ones. But since we've had it more recently, and it's one that I enjoy and I can have a lot of, is Pugachev's Cobra. So that one is my second.
That's another great barrel-aged beer, and that's also in the tournament.
Yeah,
it is.
As we announced earlier this morning, Pugachev's Cobra is in the tournament. Chris, what about you?
Barrel-aged beers. I think I'm going to go a different direction than you guys on a lot of these. Probably not this one. My number one barrel-aged beer right now is Firestone Walker Parabola, which I believe is another entrant in the tournament.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's for me is the standard. I love everything about that beer. And my second one might be a little bit of a surprise, but Taps Remy.
Oh my goodness.
Remy is really good.
Remy is so
And I've only had it once. And that night we were also drinking Bourbon County, I believe, right, Brad?
Mm-hmm.
Moloko, is that how you pronounce it?
Moloko, yeah.
The Three Floyds one. And I believe we also had Surly Darkness.
Surly Darkness.
That same night. And the one that I went to bed dreaming of that night was actually Taps Remy.
Yeah.
And when you told me it was a fish house, it blew my mind. I'm like, a fish house made this beer?
All right. Well, my two favorite bourbon barrel-aged stouts, I'm going to go with a 2011 Elijah Craig 18-year bourbon Eclipse.
Ooh. Now, that's an answer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's like I have the year specific because I have had a 2012, but with a year of age on it, it just is great. I mean, it's just magic on every front. Aroma, mouthfeel, taste, barrel character. I can't say enough about it, so I won't say any more. My second one is Chocolate Rain. Love that beer. Mm-hmm. I love Chocolate Rain. I absolutely adore it. Chocolate, vanilla, barrel character, big, big bodied stout, but still not overwhelming.
How can you go wrong?
You can't. Second part is, what are your two favorite non-barrel-aged stouts? So I'm going to go ahead and start going back around the other way. Chris, what about you?
Non-barrel-aged. I'm going to stay local with this one. First one I'm going to say is Ritual's Big Deluxe. If you don't know where Ritual Brewing is, it's in Redlands, California, which is basically my backyard. But I've never had a non-barrel-aged beer with that much complexity to it. Like I get so many layers and different flavors out of that beer. It's amazing to believe that it's not barreled in any way.
Big Deluxe is another beer we had that same night we had Remy.
We did. That's right.
Big Deluxe. Man, you were a lucky bastard that night. Some of your favorite stouts in one night.
That's what happens when you party with Jason Fike, though.
It really does. It really does. You brought the Big Deluxe, didn't you?
I did.
What's your second one?
It's the white chocolate amaretto stout from Brewery Rebellion.
Oh,
I know. I know.
You could make a joke like that's a mouthful, but
it is. And it's a brewery that isn't around yet. They will be in the market very, very soon.
They are lurking around.
They're just finishing up production on the brewery. Yeah.
And you know what though? One thing I say about Brewery Rebellion, they're dangerous.
They are.
You know why? Because they're not in a production phase yet. They're getting there. They're close. But you know what they do right? Make damn good beer.
Oh, yeah.
So once you get them, you give them the resources and ability to make more,
mm-hmm.
they're dangerous.
Watch out.
They're definitely
the beer's
dangerous.
I really think they're going to take this place by storm.
I think last time we hung out with them at a beer festival, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is a 10% beer that I can session with. I mean, it's that smooth. I'm not joking.
What about you, Steven?
I'm definitely going to have to go with Southern Tears Creme Brulee. That one is just completely, it's a flavor bomb. If you've had it, you know exactly what I mean. We've talked about this before. Balance is really big these days, and this beer has none of it. It's just nothing but flavor. It's dessert in a bottle. And if you haven't tried it, definitely, if it's in your local liquor store, get it. And if it's not, order it.
If you like sweet stouts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the sweetest stout I think it's ever been made.
It's candy in a bottle.
Yeah.
It's really what it is. My second one would have to be, we opened it with your dad, Brad. We opened it probably in 2010. It was a 2009 Dark Lord.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal. That was actually my first Dark Lord, too.
Yeah, I think it was my first Dark Lord as well. Since then, I've had a few more, but still not that many.
Yeah.
I could have swore Dark Lord was barrel-aged.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's surprising. I learned something today.
Yeah. So for me, my two favorite non-barrel-aged beers definitely changed recently. My first one, and this might surprise you guys, maybe not, but Beechwood Barbecue's Tovarish. Oh, my goodness.
You tried that at Airwaves, right?
I did. I can thank Sarah Bennett for giving me her glass, and she let me try it, and oh, my goodness.
I was there, and I didn't get any.
It was so, so good. Great coffee, great stout, such a delicious treat. My second one is going to be Three Floyds Mullico Milk Stout.
Mm-hmm.
Had one of those a couple weeks back, and I had had it twice before that, and it just was great when I first, but there was something about it when I had it most recently. It was by far the smoothest stout I think I've ever had. And it just, it took Velvet Merlin off. Make sure you open your ears. It's time for the first Brew Bribe hint, and I'm only going to say it once. Your hint is, I am a beer, and I hail from Northern California. So the reason we're doing this episode, obviously, is because we love stouts more than most people should love anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We do have the Barrel-Aged Stout Tournament coming up, so I wanted to get us brushed up on stout styles, profiles, aromas, tastes, mouthfeels, what they all are in relation to one another, and to kind of get us up to speed. And it helps us as much as it helps you.
Yep.
You guys might learn a few things. If you're super all-knowing beings already, then just sit back, listen, and drink stouts. So,
yeah, just drink.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We'll do the talking, you do the drinking.
Stop thinking, more drinking.
There you go. We've got five beers. Obviously, we ran them down already. The Dryish Irish Stout we have is the Guinness Extra Stout.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian Imperial Stout's obviously a classic North Coast Old Rasputin. The Oatmeal Stout, as I mentioned, is Firestone Walker Velvet Merlin. The Milk Stout we have is a classic English Milk Stout. It's St. Peter's Cream Stout. And the Barrel-Aged Stout we've got is Avery's Uncle Jacob's Stout.
Yeah, that one's a heavy hitter.
A.K.A. Poison.
So, I mean, to talk briefly about some of these styles, obviously, as we said, we have the Dry Irish Stout. That's what I've got on my furthest left. We have Guinness Extra Stout.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of your traditional stout. When people think of stouts, obviously, it's mostly what they think of. Without getting too much into a review, dry Irish stouts obviously have a very dry character, some coffee, some bitterness, aroma. Did you guys know, maybe you guys did or didn't, Guinness still actually puts 3% of a soured beer in this to give it complexity. Do you guys know that?
Really?
Yeah.
Just the extra
stout? You said
stout?
Still. I didn't know they did that, period.
Or in the draft or all the brews?
I think it's
or...
all of them.
Wow.
I think it's in all of them. 3% of the beer is actually a soured stout that didn't go sour intentionally.
Huh.
And it gives it some complexity, apparently.
Once you bring it up, you can totally pull it out easier. Yeah. I've also got a Guinness draft bottle off to the side that I've been sipping on, and the sourness seems to be more pronounced in the extra stout, not so much in the draft. It's there, but it's a lot more pronounced in the extra stout.
Yeah, obviously the extra stout's a much more bold beer. It's right. Got more flavor, definitely. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the Russian Imperial Stouts. People wonder why do they call it Russian Imperial Stout? Obviously originally brewed in England, was brewed with higher hop, higher alcohol to ship to the Baltic states and Russia. It was said to be a favorite of the Russian Imperial Court.
Catherine the Great, to be specific.
Yeah, and that's why they call it Russian Imperial Stout. It's a name that still lives on very often today. So we've got Old Rasputin, and that's one of the ones we've got. What's your guys' experience with that?
With Old Rasputin?
Yeah.
It's one of my first, actually, Stone Russian Imperial Stout, I think, was my very first Russian Imperial.
Mine as well.
Rasputin was probably the second.
Yeah. I've had a lot of Rasputin. It's actually a very highly rated beer, mm-hmm. and that's to be understood. I mean, it is a very it's as close. I mean, to what they would say the classic Russian Imperial Stout is.
See, yeah. I don't want to say I did the wrong thing, but I did something that you probably shouldn't do when you're first getting into beer. Is I went from like drinking a Lost Coast Tangerine to some other wheat beer, and then I saw this beer over here. Oh, I'm gonna pick that up and. Boy, was that something else. For a new craft beer drinker, that thing was...
Was it Rasputin?
Yeah, it was Old Rasputin. It was on the shelf at Total Wine, and I got it there, and I brought it home, and I wasn't sure if I regretted it or not. Like, it was just something else.
And sipping Rasputin right now in front of me in the little taster glass that I've got, this, to me, is what I think of normally when I think of a Russian Imperial Stout.
Absolutely.
About milk stouts, what do you guys normally drink in milk stouts?
I don't. Like, I just sitting here, I was trying to think of another milk stout that I may have had, mm-hmm. other than, like, Mullico is a milk stout, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably the only one I've had outside of the St. Peter's.
Yeah, I mean, because what you normally get with milk or sweet stouts, you also get cream stouts is another word for it.
Okay,
if you've had cream stouts, that's technically a milk stout. It's just a different name. Mm-hmm. Like, Sam Adams cream stout I've had, Mullico I've had... And there's a few milk stouts that I have, and what milk stouts typically are is they brew them with a lot of unfermentable sugars like lactose.
Mm-hmm.
It gives it smoother feel and sweeter taste. And to me, I really like milk stouts.
Yeah, I was going to jump in and interject really quick. I don't mean to keep talking about Brew Rebellion, but their white chocolate base stout that they add amaretto and raspberry to is technically a milk stout because white chocolate's technically a milk product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so. It kind of works.
And it's great. I've had the amaretto white chocolate. Fantastic. I've had the raspberry white chocolate. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had the base by itself?
I don't think so.
They just recently started just serving the base by itself, and I got to try it. And it's a very solid base for a stout.
I believe that.
I can't wait for them to start brewing. On a larger scale, man. I cannot wait to buy some of their bottles.
And obviously, you move on to the big barrel-aged stouts, and really the main characteristic that you're going to get, or at least the main guideline that you want to have going into a barrel-aged stout, because you're going to get barrel-aged stouts with adjuncts like chocolate, coffee, and stuff like that. But what you want out of a good barrel-aged stout is the base beer has to be very evident.
Right.
The barrel should take a backseat, but it should be the secondary. You should still be able to taste great stout.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the side notes like the vanilla, toffee, toasted coconut, oak. You got to have a great base stout.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be a growing trend these days that no matter what beer you brew, you can throw it into a barrel and it's going to be magical. Yeah. And so many barrel-aged beers I try are just not good. I give them an A for effort, but it's just they miss the point.
Right.
You can't throw anything into a barrel and have it be great.
Mm-hmm. I need to start drinking some more barrel-aged beers because I feel like the only ones I ever drink are the ones that I drink when I'm with you, and they're all world-class.
Yeah.
I need to go find some barreled stuff that's just off the shelf and see what I think.
Yeah, yeah. There are a lot, it's huge now. I mean, it's just this growing phenomenon, and there's so many of them that I've tried out there that are just, eh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, is there, like, the message you want to send to these brewers is you got to walk before you can run. Make mm-hmm. a great base beer before you throw it into a barrel. Once you have a great base stout, then experiment with what it tastes like with a barrel.
It's kind of like anything in life. I mean, you can apply that, like I said, to anything. Like, you need a good foundation to build your house. You need a good foundation for anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, I agree. It seems that people are just trying to run before they can walk.
Yeah, because they want to make money or they want to get notoriety or whatever. And for whatever reason, it's you see a lot of it. So, well, I mean, that's really – those are the styles that we've got in front of us. Those are your main styles. They're obviously our offshoots. We didn't want to have any stouts with adjuncts, coffee, or chocolate stouts. I mean, they're out there, and they're fantastic and for the most part. But we didn't want to do that. I mean, we've got signature stouts, and that's really all it is.
Well, they're good solid representations of the style.
Oh, absolutely.
And you start throwing in adjuncts, then we're getting off track of what these beers are originally supposed to be. And it goes back to what you were talking about before, having the good base stout to start with.
Yeah.
And these are good examples of good base stouts.
So before we get into the actual history of the stout, which will be quicker than it sounds, I promise you, you guys aware of what the biggest myth about stouts are?
What is that?
Do you guys know?
I'm not sure.
So one of you is going to have to guess. What's the biggest myth about stouts? Like the public perception about stouts is just completely wrong. What is the biggest myth?
High alcohol content, probably. Yeah.
That's it.
I know that's the biggest one with Guinness. Like when I learned that Guinness was 4%, it blew me away.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, there's most of the beers that we have on this table, they're less than 5%.
A lot of the biggest myth about stouts is, and it just beer in general, is the darker the beer, the stronger it is.
Yeah.
Big myth. Obviously, stouts are very dark, but it's really in regard to the grain and the malt and how it was roasted or how dark it was. It has nothing to do with the alcohol content. Darker beer doesn't always mean high alcohol. It can. I mean, you can have a stout that's super wild. I mean, Uncle Jacob's 17.42. That's wild.
Yeah, that's what we got on this table right now, which is going to be crazy.
But Guinness is what? Would you say 4.4?
I think that the exact number is 4.2.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's crazy low. That's sessionable low. I mean, that's wow.
Mm-hmm. All right. It is now time for your second brew bribe mystery phrase. So, listen carefully. I'm only going to say it once. You have to get it exactly. I carry with me a pickaxe at all times.
So, real quick, I mean, me and Chris both did, you know, a really extensive study on the history of stouts to kind of fill in the gaps of what we thought we knew. Stouts obviously started as porters.
Correct.
Porter, you know, stout originally was a word that just meant strong.
Yeah.
Well, they tied it to the porter. They made a stronger porter that they called a stout porter. And then over the years, they just dropping the porter and making its own creation.
Yeah. Stouts, porters, the porter itself originally popped up in print around 1720. It was given the name porter because it was consumed by people who worked the docks in London. And obviously, they didn't have labor laws back then, so they worked extremely long days and weren't given lunch breaks. So they were given porters because they contained, they needed the fluid and they needed the calories to make it through the day. That's why they were called porters originally, because the porter was one of the main jobs you could have on the docks in London.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that really came from. And as they were called stout porters because that just meant a stronger porter. The word stout was actually given to more styles back then than just porter. They used to have stout pale ales, stout porters, you know, stout browns or brown. Mm-hmm. They called them brown stouts. So, I mean, if you're familiar out there with this new kind of, it's kind of a new trend where breweries are out there making white stouts or pale stouts. It's not a new idea at all, actually. It's really just kind of a throwback or resurrection of an old idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Originally, they were more dark brown because black malts weren't even discovered until 1817. Okay. So before that, stouts were just brown. They weren't black.
Makes sense.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One popular story that I actually found very interesting about stouts or about porters when they were stout porters was, it's called the Three Thread Story. Are you familiar with that? Did you read that about that at all?
I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't get into that.
The Three Thread Story was, it's kind of funny because as we said, there's soured stout in Guinness. The Three Thread Story started that porters originally were a blend of three beers. It was kind of an aged old ale, a beer that actually went sour that was bad, and a new unaged ale that was blended to kind of mask, the flaws of each. and it became a stout porter. There's absolutely, at this point, there's no evidence really to support it other than their people have read about it and there's been talk about it. But
it's an urban myth.
Yeah, it's called the Three Thread Story. Apparently, there was a man named Ralph Harwood that came around between 1720 and 1730 that actually started to do the blend in one cask. And that was his technique. And that's essentially, they say, where stout porters came from. But there's no evidence that supports that. It's just a theory.
But people are still blending beers together today. I mean,
yeah,
that's something that's carried over immensely.
Yeah. And as we've said, with this Guinness, there is soured beer in it, 3%. It's such a small percent, but you can taste it, kind of, you know?
You can.
It has a tang, and you wonder why it's there. Now you kind of know, you know?
I always kind of overlooked it. I just didn't give it a second thought.
Yeah. You taste that, and you kind of just assume that it's one of the ingredients or something like that. Nope, right. It's just a whole other beer.
Yeah, it's just a whole other beer. It's essentially the same beer. It's just soured.
Yeah, and you said that it's a beer that unintentionally went bad.
Yeah, right. It's not bad like it's going to harm you.
Yeah,
it's just not going to taste good.
Right. Like, yeah,
it's almost like a skunky beer.
Yeah,
that's almost kind of why Guinness has that almost a skunky taste, but it's so minute that it's almost pleasant because it works.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about when stouts kind of became their own style. When exactly that was sometime between World War I and World War II. And the reason that happened was because with the two world wars in London, they were actually had, or in England, they changed the way beers were taxed. Porters had a higher tax than mm-hmm. a black ale or a stout.
Yeah.
So porters almost completely died out after that time in England.
Mm-hmm.
And the stout kind of took over. And then obviously they're the stout that we know it today. And porter and stout are their own styles, but can you really exactly say what the difference is specifically?
It's difficult.
Very minute.
It's very difficult. There's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you drink a porter that's a traditional porter, you kind of like, okay, yeah, and then you drink a traditional stout, okay, difference is there.
Mm.
But then when you start getting into imperial porters or stronger porters,
right.
the line becomes even more blurred.
Oh,
you're like,
absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
They're so, you know, like Victory at Sea,
mm-hmm.
imperial
mm-hmm.
porter,
right.
drinks just like a stout.
Right.
And you wouldn't even
such
imagine it'd be something else.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, obviously, as we've said, we have several varieties of stout, but that was kind of a quick, you know, mm-hmm. history lesson for anyone who wasn't aware.
Wasn't aware of most of that.
I love stouts, so I mean, I really wanted to be very familiar with where they came from and to appreciate the mm-hmm. heritage of what's in my glass. Because
I actually dug into the Russian Imperial. If you want me to get into that a little,
go
bit.
Ahead.
Yeah,
if you've got some
this.
Quick tidbits, go for
it.
I
do. In the research that I did, the Russian Imperial Stout came about because Catherine the Great made a trip over to Europe, and at the time she went over, I don't have exact dates, but the time she went over, the stout was like the newfangled beer,
mm-hmm.
and she loved the regalness and the elegance of it, and she demanded that it be shipped to Russia. And at the time, the stouts were only like 5%, you know? So they sent them from England. I think I said Europe before. And it's a long journey. We don't have the same technology that we have today.
Yeah,
so the beer spoiled
737
on the way over. And
by the time she got it,
by the time she got it, it was sour. It was like the extra stuff that's being put in Guinness now, probably. So what they did is they upped the alcohol content, and they added a little bit more hops sometimes to give it a more preservative character, so it wouldn't spoil on the trip over to Russia. And that's where you got the Imperial Russian Stout from.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was, yeah, it was a favorite of the Russian Imperials because of the regalness, as you said.
Right.
It was viewed as a sophisticated and regal beer,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they loved it. And it's crazy to me when you think back that these beers started popping up, because, I mean, there has been talks that the porter was actually originally drank in the 14th century. But, you know, obviously with as little information as we have from back then,
mm-hmm.
it can't be completely verified. So the earliest time it's in print that we see porter show up is in the 1720s. And we still drink these beers today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, and they're very much a part of our lives and how far they go back.
Very much a part of our lives.
Yeah, and in case you guys didn't know, because we do a weekly radio show on the year. And so now what you guys can say from Beer Geek Radio is that you learned a little bit and you got to drink while learning mm-hmm. a little bit. I mean, it's like drinking in class.
Yeah. Who wouldn't want to drink
you see how
in
cool
fifth
that'd
grade?
Be?
Wait, what?
Uh-huh.
If they taught like this in high school, I would have got better grades.
Right?
Yeah, me too, I think. So now you guys have got a brief history lesson. You guys have known what we're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You learned a little bit. Before we get out of here,
all right, all you beer-guzzling slouches, listen up, because I'm only going to say this once, all right? So dig it. She is a blonde with a sour attitude. You hear? That will be your third and final brew bribe hint.
Before we break with the All About Stout episode, I do want to take a quick minute to give you a rundown of the biggest and probably the best tournament that we have done to this point, starting 1 week from today.
Yeah.
On Beer Geek Radio. It's a barrel-aged stout tournament. We've already announced four of the beers. We've got the Black Note, we've got Parabola, we've got Older Viscosity, and we've got Pugachev's Cobra. We're going to be announcing four more over the next week. I am thrilled beyond words that we've gotten to this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, I love barrel-aged stouts, and to be able to do this, wow.
Yeah.
I don't have much more to add. I mean, your enthusiasm on this tournament is infectious.
Man, I'm
and
so excited.
You really don't need
this.
Much to be pumped for this tournament. If you're not pumped for this tournament, you're doing something wrong, or you just don't like stouts, which is fine, but you should be pumped for this because this is going to be a world-class tournament.
These are, we're doing the heavyweights of beer.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're right. I can't be more excited about a tournament. It will work a lot of the same way the other ones have. 8 beers, bracket style, single elimination, completely blind taste test. Method we're going to implement this time to kind of make sure that everything is as even and accurate as we can. Before we get the reveal, before we even name our winners, we're going to write them down on a card. We're not going to show them until they're already written down. That way, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that nobody's answer has influenced somebody else's answer. I think that's fair to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do.
Right. It's a nice little twist. New twist.
I like that.
So, as we said, we've got Black Note, we've got Parabola, we've got the Older Viscosity, and we've got Pugachev's Cobra announced so far.
The other one's gonna be?
Yeah, I mean it's a mystery. You know what? It's if you're well aware of the style, you're gonna be able to guess some of them. Some of them are gonna be no brainers.
Right.
I wanted the barrel aged stout to be well represented in this tournament. I mean, the picking process was I wanted some very trademark signature barrel aged stouts, and I wanted some off the wall ones.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to not know what was gonna win, and I'm thoroughly excited with the selection that we've got. You can just hear it in my voice how excited I am. So
that'll come out even more once the tournament starts.
Oh, dude, I know.
His voice is going to go up an octave. It's going to be like, who is this guy hosting Beer Geek Radio? Is it Brad?
So to give you guys a quick also an idea of what we're doing to be prepared, obviously this episode was a big part of that. We're all reading the BJCP guidelines on stout styles. That's one thing that we are doing. Another thing, obviously, aside from this episode and that, was to get well aware of the history and the characteristics of each style. So you know we are very well prepared to do what we're going to do.
Yeah, we do our research.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And we like to be informed. So that's what we're going to do. The tournament kicks off next week. It's going to take place the entire month of May, Mondays and Thursdays. For those of you who have fallen in love with our beer review episodes, sorry, we won't have any of those for you in April.
No, we'll have several beer review episodes, but they'll all be barrel-aged stouts.
Yeah. And tournament style. So.
And tournament style.
Awesome. So that's what we had for you tonight. Episode is all about stout. That's what we've done tonight. We've been drinking Guinness Extra Stout. We've had the St. Peter's Cream Stout. We've had Velvet Merlin from Firestone Walker, Old Rasputin, and the Uncle Jacob Stout. So far, what's your guys' favorite before we get out of here?
Well, Velvet Merlin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I said it before. It almost made my top two for non-barrel-aged stout. I love everything about the beer. It's very accessible. You can get it on the shelf. It's usually seasonal, but I've still seen a few around.
It is lingering. It is still around. I just bought mine like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. It's still on shelves if you look.
The one I was most surprised about, though, I got to say, just real quick, is the St. Peter's Cream Stout.
Yeah.
I'm actually really enjoying this.
Yeah, I was, too. That was the first beer I finished. It was actually, I'm pleasantly surprised, considering it's always available and I've never had
it.
Yeah. I've never even seen it before.
My favorite, I actually have to say, is Uncle Jay. Uncle Jacob's is burning my nostrils right now.
I haven't even sipped Jake yet.
Oh, man. Jake, he's a mean bastard.
Very special.
I'm doing it right now.
Living in America's backwoods. Talking.
Yep.
This double barrel shotgun, waiting for anybody to... All right, I'm getting too far into his little character.
Really quick before we break, your reaction to Uncle Jacob Stout, Chris?
You just saw me shaking my head. Man, it's actually not as harsh as you would think it would be. It's very smooth.
Very smooth.
Very good green character on it.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we're going to break and get out of here. We'll see you guys on Thursday with our beer review. We've got a doozy with Steven's turn to pick this week. You guys will see what it is in the coming days. and for the Barrel Aged Stout Tournament and Beer Geek Radio. On behalf of everything we're doing here, I want to thank you for listening. I'm your host. My name is Brad.
This is Steven.
And this is Chris.
Cheers. We'll see you on Thursday.
See ya.